we can get done here. So Perek Yud in Hosea. So, in Perek Yud, we are going to talk about the destruction of the Mizbechot. We've talked about a lot in Hosea about the corruption of the leaders. Well, now we're also going to see that the leaders, or in this case, the king, is not just not great, but he's also ineffective. What is going on? But he's also ineffective, and he's not going to be able to protect them, which is going to be important. And we're going to do this derech mashal, okay? So, and these are the first 8 psukim in Perek Yud. Gefen bokek Yisrael pri yishav elo kirov lefiryo hirba lemizbechot kedov laartso hektivu matzevot. So Yisrael is a gefen bokek is they used to be a vine. Now the question is, what does this mean? So like JPS translated as a ravaged vine, whereas Dat Mikra translates bokek on the basis of the Arabic, which is the opposite, that it is a very fruitful vine. Now it's clear that by the end it's not. The question is this already talking about the destruction, talking about was before the destruction, and its fruit is like it when is fruit, because the next line is already going to contrast the past. So right, we're clearly very quickly moving that. So when the fruit was plentiful, he made mizbechot, right? Many mizbechot, and the land was bountiful, right? He set up matzivot, right? So what's the problem? So as we've seen, that the wealth of the Jews led to them violating the Torah, right? Worshiping the Mizrah, setting up mizbechot that they shouldn't have, and matzivot that they shouldn't have, right? So wealth, and this is something we see throughout Dvarim, wealth often leads to sin. So chalakli ba mata yeshamu yarov mizbechotam yishodeid matzevotam. So now their heart is separated from God. That's how Dat Mikra takes it, from Lev being heart. It is possible, and JPS takes this assumption, that Lev here should be understood the way it is in Shmuel, that it can also mean the heart of a tree, right? So it's not their heart, it means the heart of the tree, right? Like there, Avshalom is, right, is caught in like the thicket, right, in the thick growth. So they pull apart the Mizbechot, and you smash, right, the Matzevot. Right, meaning the enemies are going to come. The first thing they're going to do is they're going to destroy these Mizbechot. Ki ata yomru ein melech lanu, ki lo yareinu Adonai ma'melech ma'yase lanu. And then what are you going to realize? You're going to say, "Hey, we have no king or no effective king, right? We didn't fear God, and the king can't help us, right?" Because again, a theme throughout Hosea has been that you put your trust in people, whether it be in your kings or Ashur or Mitzrayim, instead of in God. And then you're going to wake up when your Mizbechot are being smashed, and you'll be like, "Ah, oh." So these are probably a combination of Bechel V'Dazara and the Asur Bamot, right?
So they're building bamot.
They are.
It's not like in the first chapter that they were building them as a good thing.
No, probably not. No, Katov Larzo is a lot, just a lot. Like, based on their wealth, they built a lot, right? According to their wealth, not that it was good, according to their goodness. Kia, right? Yes, and therefore they're going to realize, they're going to wake up when the king isn't protecting them either. Oh, that was a mistake. Dabru dvarem alod shav karot bredo farach karosh mishpat al tamei sadai. So they conclude agreements and make covenants with false oaths, and justice degenerates into poison weeds breaking out on the furrows of the field. So beautiful, JPS, there, right? Very. Meaning, what's the problem? Is that their leaders, as we've talked about, are corrupt. They said things that were wrong, right? They made false promises. right? So now, what's happened is that, you know, injustice has grown, right? That's the problem, is their leader has sowed corruption. So le'eglot beit aven yagru shchon shomron ki aval alav amoch marav alav yagilu al kvodo ki gala mi menu. So now he refers to the agalot, right, that were built by Yeravam, right, the calves. Now they are afraid of them, right? The people of Shomron, they used to, you know, worship these things, and now, you know, they make them afraid, right? Because they're worshipers, and they're Kohanim, right? They're afraid, right? That's the symbol now that, right? So either so one possibility is they're afraid that the Agalim will be destroyed as well, right? Or the things they used to, you know, celebrate now they're are going to be destroyed.
So it's interesting to me.
You
said Yarof, and you're saying like Eglot. Oh, it sounds like the Eglot.
Yeah, probably there's an imagery of Eglot Rufa there, right? That the Agala will be Arofed. Yeah, exactly. Gam Otola Ashur Yuval Minchala Melech Yarev Bishna Boshna, rather Boshna Ephraim Mikach Vivosh Yisrael Me'atzato, and it'll be brought to Ashur as a tribute, right? And Ephraim will be upset. Yisrael will be shocked because of these plans, right? Meaning, right? These are gods, right? They relied on their king. They relied on Hodazar. They relied on Ashur, and now it's all coming to bite them because Ashur is coming and is going to take away their Hodazar,
and
their king can't do anything. Exactly, right? All those things that they trusted in now are either attacking them or helpless, right? Nidmesh Omron Malka Kiketzav Alpenayim, and their king, it's like foam on the water. It's a beautiful image, right? Their king vanishes like foam on the water, right? It looks, right? Think about it, right? Foam on the water. It looks like the water is so strong, right? You have these bubbling up, right? Like the crashing waves, right? It looks powerful, but the foam itself, right? It doesn't really exist. Exactly. That's what he's saying. That's what this is. The king of Shomron, he got up, oh, so strong, angry, right? Loud. Right? Nothing. Their Bamot are going to be destroyed, and instead they're going to be taken over by thorns and thistles, right? Yeah, probably, right? At some level, this idea that it's you go back to the beginning, right? It's like, yeah, I mean, Kodesh V'Dardar is not like an uncommon thing, but yeah, at some level could be saying, like, yeah, you sound like Adam, right? Like, it's now that's what's going to grow for you instead, right? That is the original curse. Okay, so that's the first half of Perek Yud. The second half of Perek Yud is a mashal of, as we've seen before, Znut. Znut either can mean actual znut, or znut of avodah zarah, or znut of politics, right? That you follow, right? You committed znut in God, right? So we're now going to tell a mashal of a lover and his beloved. Doesn't take a genius to see where this is going, because, you know, they're going to betray their said beloved. But that's what's going to happen in the second half of the parak. So, mimei ha-giv'ah chatat Yisrael shamamadu lo tazgen be'giv'ah milchamal b'nei avla. Right, you have been sinning since, we saw this already earlier, right? We've been sinning since the time of Giva, right? Basically down that, right? Since Pelegish B'Giva, you people are horrible. Now you stand here as if those people in Giva, you are, right? You're terrible, right? No, you're like the people in Binyamin. Yeah, exactly. Right? You know, and now there's going to be, right, and then there was war, right, against the sinners, right? Well, that's what's about to happen. Ba'avati ve'esareim v'usfu aleihem amin ba'asram l'shtei avonotam. So now the mashal here is going to be about, we're going to use a mashal from the life of a farmer, So the people gather against them and you break them, like harnessing them for two furrows, right? Right, and as Dot Mikra says, right, what it seems to be is, look, you were supposed to be committed to God, right, following his path and working for him, and now you didn't. Well, in that case, someone, right, the punishment for not serving God is you will have to serve others. And Ephraim, right, Israel, meaning you are a trained heifer, you're a trained cow, right? So I put a yoke on your neck. Right, you know how to thresh, right? You're trained to thresh, but I'm not going to let you even do what you normally do. Instead, I'm going to have you thresh, right? You're going to do, or not thresh, you're going to put a yoke on your neck, right? And I will make you do plowing, and Yehuda shall do the main plowing, and Yaakov the final plowing, meaning, right? All of you, right? Yehuda, Yisrael, right? Each of you are going to pay back those debts that you owe me, right? You are going to work, right? So then, like, at the end, right? Klal Yisrael together, right? Klal Yisrael together, all of you, unified, you're all going to suffer miserably.
Well, this is, like, something that, like, the unity.
Well, you do see that at the end of the Galiot, right? Like, Chizkiyahu does bring back the remnants. For in Divrei Yamim, it's very clear that he brings the remnants for that Karban Pesach, right? There is a certain amount of unity, not in great circumstances. Right, so that's very interesting, right? So Don McCry here says in the footnote that there's a, if you want a not like esoteric reason, the reason is very simple, is that in this pasuk we're contrasting Yehuda and Yisrael, and Yisrael, when Yisrael is found in the same pasuk as Yehuda, at this point in Tanakh, it usually means the Malchut Yisrael, like the northern kingdom. But it wants to be clear that this means the Jewish people as a whole. So it says Ephraim, Yehuda, and Yaakov, so that you don't get confused. And then we went back on Ephraim.
Yeah.
So now he says, Ziru lachem litztaka kitzru lefi chesed, niru lachem nir veit lidrosh adonayad yavo v'yarat tzedek lachem. Right, that part of that pasuk becomes very famous. And he says, okay, so now what you should do is, now I'm telling you to plow, but now you have an opportunity to do work. You know what you should sow? You know what you should plant?
Good seed.
Goodness, tzaka, right? Because remember, what you didn't have was mishpat. So plant it. Niru lachem nir, right? What does niru lachem nir mean?
Plow for
yourself. Not really. I mean, it's to break fresh ground, right? It's to make a new furrow, right? Meaning take a new path, right? Take a new path. This is your opportunity. You're working. It's punishment, but implicit in that is the opportunity to take a new path. It's time to search God again and teach tzedek. Find a teacher, find a good leader who's going to teach you tzedek. Because until now, what have you been plowing? Wickedness. Harashtem reshta. You've been planting evil because you trusted in all these strong ones. Become shown by Mechom Zerecha Yushad, Yushad Shaman, Beit Arvel, Beyom Milchama, Eim Albanim, Rutasha. And because of that, right, you'll have this din of war and your forges will be ravaged, and Beit Arvel will be ravaged. Right, on the day of battle, when mothers and children are dashed to death together, right? Meaning, you know, your lack of ethics has led to your destruction. Why don't you take a new bath? Kacha asalachem beit el nirat ratchem b'shachar nodma nidmat melech Yisrael. And this is what Beit El has done to you, right? Meaning the fact that you've worshipped in Beit El. This is what it's done to you. So there's going to be this war against, right, against you. And now, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, but look, God says, you know why I'm so upset? Because I loved you, right? It's a story of, right, of betrayal. Thank you for the word. Thank you. Thank you, betrayal. That should have come easier, but it's been a long day.
Not over yet.
It's not over yet. I know. It's not over yet. Yes. So he says, look, Kinar Yisrael Ba'oveim Mitzrayim Karati Livni. Look, I loved B'nai Yisrael. Right? In Mitzrayim, I called them as my child, right? We have this image, and we always, well, what? Yeah, exactly. Karulahem King Alchumi B'nai Labalim Yizabechel Obsimi Katerun. I called to them, and you know what they did instead? They worship the Baal. They, right? They're bringing incense to the idols. Vanochi tirgalti leEfrayim kacham al zrotav liyodu kirefatim. And I've been pampering you. I carry you in my arms, right? Meaning God's image is I've been taking care of you. It's not like I once took care of you. I've been taking care of you during this, and you're just, oh, that's nice. It's amazing. We are wealthy and successful. How is that happening? Right? You ignore the obvious, which is that it is God who is healing you. And again, that's the Mitzrayim imagery. Yes. Right? That Ani Hashem Rofecha. Right? I am your healer. You don't realize that. So instead, B'chavlei Adam Hem Shechem, Avadot Ahava, Ve'yeh Lehem, Kimri Ola Lechayhem, Ve'et Alav Ochil. I drew them in with ties, with cords of love. Right? I seemed like one. And instead, right, what did they seem to them? I seemed to them as one who imposed a yoke on their jaws, right? I was hugging you, right? Meaning, he said, I was hugging you with bound, I was binding you in love, and you thought I was binding you in prison, right? Yes, exactly, right. Yes, it's, right, is that I was binding you in love, right? It was like, right, remember, it's a baby, right? The way they put it very nicely here is like, basically, it was what I was swaddling you. Imagine like I was swaddling you as a baby, right? Or putting, they said, or they were putting on the diapers, right? It was love when I was putting these on, right? It wasn't prison, right? It's like a little baby when you swaddle the baby, right? Like they can't move, right? They love it, but they can't move, right? So you thought, oh my God, I'm in a straitjacket, right? You're not a straitjacket, you're swaddled. You're my baby, right? Like you didn't understand what was going on. Lo yashuv el eretz Mitzrayim, vashur hu malko kimanu lashuv. Right, we talked about this before. And instead, right, I told you that my promise was that you would never, right, you never have to go to Mitzrayim, and that you never should. But you left God, so now I'm forcing you down, right? And that's the Mitzrayim imagery, is right. When you left Mitzrayim, I loved you, and now I'm forcing you back because I told you you weren't going to go back, but you choose to go back to Mitzrayim. So now I'm going to force you to go back. Right, and the sword shall descend upon your towns, consume your limbs, devour them because of your designs. Why you want the word el al? Right, this is the context of. At least one of the times El Al comes up, right? Because my people, right, they keep, right, leaving me, right? When it's somewhere summoned upward, it does not rhyme, right? And he said, I call you El Al, I call you, come up, and you ignore me, right? I give you the opportunity to come up, right, but now we are coming up. Yes, exactly. Eich et necha Ephraim amagancha Yisrael eich et necha adma simcha ketzoyim nepach alai libi yachan michmru yachan ma'israel. How can I give you up? He says, listen, I can't give you up. I do love you, right? How can I surrender you and make you like these, right, Adma and Zvoyim, right, that I destroyed, right, like Stom and Amora, right, the other two, right, Adma and Zvoyim, right? Hashem said, I've had a change of heart, right? I have a change of heart. What? I don't know. Poetic. I don't know. Right, and he says, I loved you. I it's hard for me to watch this. I can't do it. Now he says, he says, listen, Be'ir. He says, I won't destroy you because I'm a God and not man, right? Which is an amazing statement, right? Because normally we say that being God means he has the power to destroy. He doesn't change his mind. So he's decided to destroy. But often that's not what we see in Tanakh. What does it mean to be God? I'm merciful in a way that human beings can't be merciful, right? Is I'm holding myself back. Right, I can't watch it because I'm God, right? Therefore, I am not, right, carrying through with my plan, right? It's this, right, because I'm a God amongst you and I'm Kadosh, right? And I can't do it. I can't come and destroy, totally destroy, Shomron.
Hashem was gonna do it.
Right now, the amazing thing, right, is what I'm saying. He says, "Ki el anochi v'lo ish," meaning I don't normally change my mind, and nevertheless, right, I am, right? Ooh. Right? Acharei Adonai yelchu kariyei yishagu, yishagu yachdu vanim miyam. And then you will follow, right, God, because they will, right, he's going to roar like a lion, right? Meaning, it's like this image of God will scare you, right? But you're going to follow him, right? Meaning, he wants you to fire you, but he's going to call you with this terrifying roar. And you're going to be so scared. You're going to flutter from Mitzrayim like little birds, right? Like at my roar. Like, you know, on the one hand, it's going to be kind and bringing you back, but through terror, right? I'm scaring you back because you don't listen to me, right? So I love you and I'm going to do what's best for you, but, you know.
Like Yona?
Yeah, I guess something like that. So that's Perek. That's Perek Yud and Yud Aleph. Debating, right?
Was Ninveh in Ashur?
Yes, Ninveh is capital.
Maybe it's like
correct, Ninveh is capital of Ashur.
Maybe it's like Yona. That's like a reference.
Maybe. I think this is a bit earlier than Yona, so.
I mean,
maybe not know. Actually. No, it might actually be similar.
Like,
it's actually a similar time.
Run away from Russia, so. Out of fear of them.
Yeah, hungry. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, let's see. Do we have time to run through your bet? That's the question. What? 15. I mean, meaning we've done. It's not impossible. Yeah, it's not actually so hard, right? Meaning now he says, okay, here's the punishment and here's the, right? Here's the sin, here's the punishment. Okay, let me go through it. Here's what it is. Sivavoni bechacha shefraim rabbi Yisrael v'yuda od radim elvim kidoshim ne'eman. You surrounded yourself with deceit and with guile while Yehuda stood firm, right? So sometimes in Hosea we've been talking about Yehuda sinned. Sometimes we talk about not. So here the point is that Yehuda was at least for either he was not as bad as Ephraim, or at least for longer he was with God. Meaning, there were times during Ephraim's rebellion when Yehuda was still with God. Ephraim roe ruach v'rodev kadim kol ayom kazav v'shod yarbeu v'ritim ashor yichrotu v'shemen l'mitzrayim yuval. Right? You tended the wind. Right? Meaning, you were chasing the wind. Right? That's what it was. You were chasing the wind. You were chasing the gale. Right? And that was just bringing more punishment to you. Because what did you do? You made a... Right, as we've seen over and over, there's the political religious problem. You made a Brit with both Ashur, right, and you carried off right oil to Mitzrayim. Right, to bribe them. V'riv l'Adonayim Yehuda, v'lefkon al Yaakov d'rechav k'malav yashiv lo. Now he says God does have claims against Yehuda as well. Right, he's going to fight with them, and he's going to punish all of Yaakov for the things that he did. So now he says, "Babeten." Now this is really amazing. Okay, this is amazing midrash. Right. So one of the things that's fascinating in Tanakh is when it has midrash shemot. What's midrash shemot? Where the pasuk gives you a midrash on the name, and sometimes it'll switch it. Right. So, like, why is Yaakov called Yaakov?
Because he was on the heel of Esav.
Right. And then Esav has a new midrash shame on his name, which is that why he was called Yaakov? Right? So, you have a different midrash shame, the same name, right? One of the ways that you convey an identity is by giving a different interpretation to the name. So, here, we're actually going to give, a negative one, right? Which is, Bebeten akavet achiv ono sara et Elohim. In the womb, you try to supplant your brother, right? Meaning, you've been deceptive since birth, right? Basically, he's the pasuk here is like merging the two midrashim shame, which is like Yaakov was right, Esav was right, right? But it was true even on the original midrash shame. You were called Yaakov because you grabbed his heel because you were trying to steal from him then, right? You have been bad, right, since the very beginning. Right? And then you fought with gods. Right? Meaning the angel. Right? Meaning this is being said as a negative at some level. Right? Well, you'll see. meaning not really negative, meaning it's meaning from the beginning you were deceptive, meaning you were powerful, you overturned, you know, you fought against the angel, but you've been bad, right? Meaning it's giving a negative midrash hashem to indicate the current way that God looks at the Jewish people. Yeah, but they're called Yaakov, right? Yeah, we saw that just a few psukim ago, remember? Correct. He's critiquing the Jewish people through Yaakov, yes. No, but that's not how you tell stories, right? You tell stories, that's the mashal, that we're calling you Yaakov, so now we're giving a new interpretation that fits you. Right? Maybe not him, but it fits you. Right now, you strove with the angel and you beat him, and right, he had to weep and beg you. Right, and you met him. Right, so now he's retelling the story of Yaakov and the Malach. Right, except in a sort of harsh way. Right, is you beat him and then you made him cry. Right. Right, and then Hashem revealed you, right? Meaning it's telling the story, but with a little bit of right? It's a little, it has a little bit of an edge, right? But the eyelids Elohei Tzvaot Adonai Zichro, and yet God, right, and then God revealed Himself, v'ata. Now, right, meaning, like it's almost the first Pesukim are somewhat ambiguous, right? It's like you have an opportunity to interpret this well or badly. So here's your opportunity. Turn back to God, do good, right? Trust God, and right, and maybe, as it were, that would put a new midrash shame, right? Then you can take the positives or something like that. Kinan biado mosnei mirma lashok ahev, right? You're using a traitor, right? You use false balances to steal. But Yomer Ephraim, achasharti matzon only, call you guy lamitu li avon asher chet. And Ephraim just says, oh, I'm rich, I'm powerful, right? And all the money I get, that's right. There's no guilt in what I'm doing, right? Oh, who cares? I'm stealing, right? Vanochi adonai lechem eretz raim adoshchabo alim kimeim await. Except I have been your God since Mitzrayim. Now remember, what pasuk do we have by fault weights and measures? God says, don't do it, and remember the God took you out of Egypt, right? That idea of being ethical in business is tied to it. And he said, look, I've been your God since I left Mitzrayim. I spoke to Nevi'im, I granted them visions, I told them Mishalim, Im Gilad Aven Achshava Yuba Gilgash Varim Zabechlem Zucham Galim Al Talmai Sadai. And for Gilad, right, it's worth as you've been bringing Korbanot, right, to on the right to Avodah Zarah on these Mizbechot. Vayivrach Yaakov stay aram, vayavod Yisrael b'isha b'isha shamar. Right, Yaakov fled, had to flee to Aram and slave away for a wife. Uvinavi Elah Adonai Yisrael mimitzrayim v'navi nishmar. But when God took you out of Mitzrayim, right, you were guarded by a prophet, right, meaning your progenitor. Right, he had to work 7 years and got tricked for a wife, and you got carried by God and prophets, right? And yet, how do you pay me back? Instead, you right, give bitter offense, and you just cast crimes on him, right? You mocked me, right? Right. So he's saying, look, right, like Yaakov was so much better than you, right? He had a hard life, and right, and he still trusted in me and can't, you, right? Everything was easy for you, and you are horrible, horrible people. Okay, we'll stop there. Yud Gimel we'll do pretty quickly. Yud Dalet is very famous. We'll take some more time. That's Shuvah Yisrael, right?